Tantric Grounds and Paths. In that book, Geshe-la explains about the actual nature of scripture. There's a debate in Buddhism about what is scripture? What is scripture? Many people look at a book and say, oh, that's a scripture, you know. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the actual nature of scripture is inner wind. It is inner wind. Meaning this, for example, when Buddha Shakyamuni first taught his teachings, his realizations, in order for us to understand them, had to be communicated to us through speech. Okay? You can't have any speech without wind. Have you noticed when you're talking, you know, there's gross wind, isn't there? That gross wind arises from subtle wind, inner wind, the very subtle wind, which is eventually going to be the form body, which is conjoined with the very subtle mind. The very subtle wind is the origin of all wind. And it's the origin of all speech. Therefore, it's the origin of all meaning, you know, all mantra. Everything comes from scripture. From inner wind. So the real nature of scripture is inner wind, actually. It's not paper and books and so forth. These are just representations. Once Buddha had given his teachings, then, of course, they were written down because people have got no memory to write everything down nowadays, and even then. But do you understand what scripture is? It is the only way that Buddha can communicate with us beings what his meaning is. Imagine you're Buddha, just for a second, you know, I'm Buddha. So you have this realization of ultimate truth of all phenomena. You've got this realization of bliss and emptiness. It's beyond words. It's beyond words and expressions. It's just this incredible experience. But you want to communicate it to others. How? You have to use speech, don't you? This is our main method of communication. Yes, we communicate through sign language, and there's other ways too, but it has to be an expressive sound that communicates. An expressive sound is a sound that has a meaning attached to it that we've all agreed, you know, if I say tree, you all know what a tree is, don't you? Because previously we've learned what the sound tree means. Probably in Romanian, it's a different sound for tree. What is it, Alex? Tree. Ob. Is that right? Ob. Oh, pom. Pom. That's the Australian word for English people, a pom. Yeah, so anyway, it's just a sound, isn't it? Pom. It just means nothing to me in English. But tree, okay, I get that. So this is showing emptiness. It's showing that things don't exist inherently, trees don't exist inherently. The word, the sound tree, is just a sound that we use to communicate. You know, we've just agreed, okay, we'll call it English people tree, Romanian pom, whatever. We've got different sounds. So this shows us how Buddha has to communicate with us. He has to create a sound. It was a set of sounds. He did it in Sanskrit at that time, very pure language, to communicate the Dharma. And that is the actual scripture. That is not these words and books and so forth. It's things written on papers. This is what Geshe-la is saying here. All letters are speech. You know, when we look at letters on a page, it's just a representation. It's not the actual letter. The actual letter is the sound. It's the speech. So he says, come back to the mount now. Sermon on the Mount. Because the name mount developed from a collection of letters, such as M, then mount itself is a mere name. Similarly, because wind develops from letters such as yam, wind is a mere name. And then he says, just a little point here, he says, it is difficult to say that the English letter yam is a letter because it is a collection of three letters, Y-A-M, Y-A-M, and is therefore like a name. But in Tibetan and Sanskrit, the letter yam is one letter, just one thing, and it's blue. In this context, therefore, we should regard yam as a Tibetan or Sanskrit letter. So he's saying when we do these visualizations, from yam comes wind, from ram comes fire, we should try and imagine just the Sanskrit or the Tibetan letter. There's one letter. So it gets wilder than this, if you think that was wild. Which is great. From this letter comes the name, and from wind, and sorry, and wind comes from the name. So wind comes from the name. So here's how we create things. If we understand the function of something and we name it, then the object develops. Okay? So this is pointing out that objects come into existence when we give them a name. They don't exist before then. You know, until you give a name to something, it doesn't exist. You've got this. What you have is a collection of parts that performs a function, but you don't have a name. You can imagine inventors. You know, they're inventing something, aren't they? The inventors of the mouse. You know, that we use on our computers. They've got this thing. You know, that sort of it connects with the computer. And what are we going to call it? It works, but there's no name. How can we communicate about this thing? Well, let's call it a mouse. Everyone agrees it's a mouse, like that. So then the mouse comes into existence. So we're thinking, no, it doesn't. It was already in existence. But it can't be. What are you talking about? What is it exactly you're looking at? I don't know. It's just it's a thing. Call it a thing. So if we understand the function of something and we name it, then the object develops. This is how reality is developed, created. All these things come. As I said before, this is in his teaching. If John wants to become Peter, then he can stop using the name John and call himself Peter. He will then gradually think that he is Peter. And other people will also think that he is Peter. Therefore, Peter comes only from a name. And he's only a name. And the names come from letters. P-E-T-E-R, Peter. Peter appears from the sounds, the letters. So the real meaning of this explanation is that wind is only a mere name, because the wind that we normally see does not exist. Don't forget, the things we normally see don't exist. They are truly existent, inherently existent things, objectively existent things, the things we normally see. They don't exist. That's our ignorance giving us a wrong idea, incorrect idea. We think all these things that we normally see exist in the way they appear. They all appear to be out there. But Buddha says, I'm sorry. You're mistaken, because if you search for the things you normally see, you will never find them. In reality, all of the things that are appearing in your world are just that. They are just mere appearances, or we can say mere names. If you try and find anything behind the name or within the appearance, you'll never find anything. Never, 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 never. It's impossible. So, of course, things are appearing. Yes. Why? Due to our karma. Isn't it? All this is appearing due to our karma. We have this karma to appear these things. Unfortunately for us, the things that are appearing are impure. Isn't it? Planet Earth is impure. Mine is anyway. I don't know about your planet Earth, but, you know, the Toronto I live in is an impure city. Dirty and so forth, isn't it? Why? Because my mind is impure, dirty. I'm projecting this experience. So the whole process of Tantra, this is what we're engaged in with the self-generation sadhanas, is of purifying our mind so that instead of perceiving an impure Toronto, we perceive a pure land. We don't go anywhere, like I was saying last night, I think, on the FP. All that happens when we purify our mind is that we now perceive a pure world. We experience everything as pure, all of our actions are pure, all of our deeds are pure, we behave purely. That happens naturally because we purify our mind by getting rid of our delusions, particularly ignorance. The ordinary appearances and conceptions have gone through our meditation on emptiness combined with spontaneous great bliss. Disappeared into reality. We stop grasping at this nonsense, and instead what appears is a pure land. This is real nonsense, our world, you know. It doesn't make any sense at all if you check. It's just suffering, 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 isn't it? Everywhere you look, suffering, problem, suffering. Why? Created by ignorance, created by grasping, created by attachment, created by anger, created by jealousy. All these things that are in our world are created by our delusions. Yeah, mind creates. The mind is a creator. It's always creating something. It's always saying, oh yes, we've created internet now, we've created computers, we've created, well, why? Because we think they're going to make us happy, but they never do. So the Tantra method is a quick method to roll all this back and purify our mind.